What is happening, everyone? Coach Ishak with HawkFit Coaching and Legion Athletics and your host for today's episode of Anabolic Radio. I'm joined today by Alex Bush, who's one of the head coaches of Physique Development. If you don't know about him, I definitely recommend you go give him a follow. He puts out ton of valuable information when it comes to nutrition training. And for the basis of today's episode, we're going to talk about coaching practices, the art of coaching, and how to really find the true value of what you need to be looking for when it comes to a coach. How are you doing today, Alex?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on.
I see you got the coffee on lock.
Oh, yeah. Well, nice. Caffeinated, ready to chat as much as possible.
Nice, man. So for some of the audience listening, to give them some background on you, let's go ahead and dive into that route and we'll go wherever we need to go from there.
Absolutely. I am a co-owner of Physique Development. We work with lifestyle clients. We work with contest prep, the whole nine. And so to give a little bit of background on myself, I have my bachelor's degree in exercise science. Straight out of college, I worked in the strength conditioning realm at the college level. And one of the co-owners, Austin Current, and myself had started Physique Development while I was in that setting to thereafter move out of the strength conditioning realm and move directly into online coaching as my sole job. So we've been online coaching as my full-time job for 4 years now outside of that. So it's been an incredible experience, something that I'm extremely grateful for and just love it every day.
Nice, man. Absolutely. And you said you've been coaching online full time for 4 years, but that's not the mm-hmm. total duration you've been coaching for.
Correct. So we started, I think we're like five and a half, like around the 5.5 year marker. So like the first year and a half of us starting Physique Development, it was part time. So I was at the time doing the strength conditioning portion of things. I was also working at the vitamin shop and had clients at that time.
Amen. Got to get the supplements at a discounted rate. Yeah.
It was perfect. It was a position, and I push people to have like supplement store jobs for the sheer fact that if they're trying to start their online business, it's such an easy way to gain clients, where it's like, if you know your knowledge, like if you're knowledgeable about the products and you're building a relationship with them by selling them products that work and kind of giving them some tips with training and nutrition as well, it's very easy to transition into, hey, you know, I do online coaching as well, if you'd be interested in that. And that was kind of an easy way for me to get into coaching clients that I already had a relationship with. So that was, you know, fantastic.
Just throw a business card in the shopping bag.
Yeah. Nice, I always man. Had it while I was working there. I'd always have business cards just in my pocket, and I would just kind of like give them to people when we would be in conversation or whatever. And that's, you know, at the beginning, that was definitely my easiest, my best way of gaining clients at the time.
Nice, man. So over your total duration that you've been coaching, what's some of your favorite and what's some of the hardest things about being an online coach?
Oh, favorites is that I just get to connect with people from everywhere. I think that's the cool part, and building relationships being a big piece, and just sharing my passion and sharing education would be the things that I enjoy the most. The hardest part is, I would say, just having a balance of life and work, where it's like, I've definitely had, there's seasons to it where I'm very work focused and things of that nature. But especially early on, it was work only. Like I didn't have much of anything going on. And so building a balance has been something that I'm still continuously working on, and something that's the hardest for me. Yeah.
Nice, man. So when it comes to online coaching, we'll go ahead and open the chest up. How can we set clients up for not only optimizing their health, but ensuring that we don't sacrifice the health while trying to achieve their goals? So I know we were briefly speaking before we we started recording, and one of the things that popped up was blood work. So why don't we go ahead and start there?
100%. So when we're, you know, setting up clients in general, there's a list of things that we have to make sure that are in line. I think that oftentimes men and women who come to us, it's more of a 90% of the time it's decreasing body fat and increasing muscle mass simultaneously. That's the first thing. And it's like, well, we've got to educate at that point that that's not likely. It's possible, but definitely not likely for the vast majority of individuals. And so educating is going to be the biggest part. And then now we're kind of making sure that everything under the hood or internally is functioning properly. So some basic things without getting into the depths of blood work would just be digestion, sleep, stress levels, how their mood is throughout the day, how their energy. So looking at those factors before you dig into blood work is going to be the easiest way. And once you get those things in line, let's say that the client is still struggling to have the results that they desire. At that point, maybe you do have them go and get some blood work, then look at the markers, whether we're looking at any of the sex hormone production, thyroid function, cortisol levels, anything of that nature. It could be some of the driving forces that we're not seeing just by, you know, the biofeedback as well as visual images to allow for them to still see success. And then you're just from there analyzing the data, putting things in place, and, you know, having improvements there.
Nice, man, for sure. Yeah, when a lot of people start out, a lot of people jump into calorie deficit right away. That's a different conversation. Right. But I think it generally should always start with the lowest hanging fruit, you know, before trying to search for these complex solutions or these advanced protocols or these advanced strategies. Like, okay, let's ensure you're consuming a sufficient amount of water every single day. Let's ensure you're on top of hydration status, because that's not only going to make a big difference when it comes to absorbing and assimilating a majority of the nutrients out of the food that you're consuming, but especially when it comes to getting the most out of your training session. Like, being dehydrated makes you a little bit more prone to injury or, you know, muscle tears, for example. And really just ensuring that your digestive system is on point in regards to, like, are you feeling bloated after you consume a meal, or are there certain foods that don't necessarily agree with your digestive system? So really looking into those and diving into those variables is super important when it comes to, like, setting a client up for success, for me at least, and definitely trying to set, like, both short-term and long-term realistic goals. And, I feel like a lot of people could tend to be they set these ridiculous goals, right? And then when they don't achieve that benchmark, then they get unmotivated, or they start to feel like shit, or start to feel down about themselves. And I know you know as much as I know, like, there's so many variables when it comes to nutrition and training. So when it comes to online coaching and setting a client up for success, I definitely think it's important to distinguish between, okay, is this person an athlete, or is this person a general population person? And I'm just trying to get them to adhere to the game plan consistently over a long period of time. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that, with coaching, that's a challenging portion for many coaches. And especially when you're starting out, I think that you get into a place of, like, well, this is how I like to coach. I'm going to coach everyone in this fashion. And then as you get more acclimated to seeing so many different individuals, so many different types of individuals, you come to a very quick realization that, hey, like, everyone does not respond the same to these different types of coaching. You know, some people are going to want more blunt responses and things of that nature, and being a little bit more hard on them, if you will. And there's some individuals who do not desire that, who that's going to really suppress their desire to become better. And you have to be more uplifting. And then, you know, there's going to be a time and a place for both. You've got to have the ability to flip the switch and understand it's more of a understanding just how to communicate is a huge portion to all of this. And on that token, I think that being vocal and for clients, I think that them hearing your voice comparatively to you just sending emails is very, very helpful in that sense too, whether you want to do that through voice memos in your check-ins or through calls, both of those are going to be extremely more valuable than them trying to interpret exactly what you're trying to say via email, because the interpretation of email is very difficult at times, especially if you don't know the individual, you know, early on in your coaching experience with them, they don't know you all that well oftentimes. And so you've got to be vocal, especially early on.
Nice, man. Absolutely. There was this thing you put on your stories the other day. I'm not sure if it was your stories, but it's like, you can't be afraid to be the coach who cracks the whip at times, and you can't afraid to be the coach who, you know, is understanding and empathetic and communicates well with their client. Communication is huge. For the past 2 years, I've been using, Loom. So I'm able to not only like show my face and record my video, but I'm able to like actually like go into the spreadsheet, you know, show them what they really need to be focusing on, maybe refresh some protocols for the week. So when it comes to malpractice in the coaching space, what are some, we could go on for days for this, but you know, what are some horror stories that you've heard for some of the online coaches coming up?
This could go so many different directions. I would say that the number one, especially when I'm looking at competitors, so I'll talk on competitors and then I'll talk on lifestyle, is that with competitors, individuals just perpetually getting to extremely low calories that are not, and for extended periods of time. When you are competing, there's going to be times of excessively low calories for short burst is kind of what you're expecting. You do not expect to be at, you know, sub 1,000 calories for months on end. That is not good practice there. And so that is something that I see more frequently with competitors. And then on the same token, with lifestyle clients, it's kind of on the flip side, where you can certainly tell that some coaches do not pay attention if they do both, where it's like, I coach competitors, I also coach lifestyle, is that with lifestyle competitors, oftentimes they're just not given the same service. They're being charged the same amount, but they're not given the same service. And you can tell with like the nutritional adjustments or the training adjustments, where they're just given this training program for 12 weeks. It's just 5 training sessions that they're just repeating with no progression, no adjustment, and training stimuli or anything of that nature. And then their macros are like something that would be directly from a calculator, like 151 grams of protein, 162 grams of carbs, and 47 grams of fat, and it doesn't adjust. And it's like, well, that was just plugged and chugged into a, you know, a calculator and just left, and you were just paying for, you know, really nothing at that point.
Yeah, calculators are so variable. It's hard to put a number on an individual's metabolic rate. You know, it's good to give us a range, but at the end of the day, right, we have to measure that in conjunction to things like the scale or rate of recovery or biofeedback signals. And for those of you listening, I'm sure you've tuned into previous episodes with people like Dr. Eric Helms, with Alberto Nunez, and we've really kind of briefly touched on, you know, proper coaching practices and maintaining health. So here's the thing, like, I think a lot of people, when they tend to set body composition related goals for themselves, they make the error in trying to think that it's just about eating less and doing more. And while sure, like, being in a calorie deficit is one of the most important variables when it comes to achieving a fat loss related goal, you could also do that at maintenance, you know, and you don't have to sacrifice your health or trying to achieve a body composition related goal of yours. I mean, like, you ideally would like to maintain a majority of the habits that you built up throughout the entire coaching process. So as a coach, for me, one of the things that have really allowed me to succeed with like my coaching clients is just, you know, having them understand that it's about habits at the end of the day, really having them build those habits up and have them understand the reasons as to why they need to be maintaining them. And, you know, eventually, once we get to the tail end of our time together, they're able to still maintain those habits consistently on a daily basis. And my goal in working with my clients, guys, like, my goal is to not get them to that end goal and that's it. No, you know, I really want them to maintain the things that we worked on together for their entire life. You know, nutrition training is not for just the short term, but it's something that's supposed to improve your quality of living for your entire life. So I think that's something big that should be taken into account. Like, you know, we're very, we've heard a lot of different horror stories, like people eating fucking low calorie, 1,000 calories, eating their tilapia and trying to thin their skin and doing hours and hours on end of cardio. And I'm not saying like context is everything, right? So really understanding the individual context of that person is important, but you know, you don't have to sacrifice your quality of living to try and achieve your goal. That was sort of like a long tangent, yeah. But yeah, man, sure.
One thing I would add with the malpractice is that some coaches will get into a situation where they feel as though if they educate too much, then the client will leave. And so it's to a level where it's like they give them enough to where they can, you know, do what they need to do. They have the training, they have the nutrition, but when they do leave working with that coach, they don't have anything that's improved over that time frame. It's just like, well, I was completely dependent on that coach. Now I don't know what to do. And so it's like, I know that both you and I focus very heavily on putting them in a position where when they do leave working with us, that they can still implement all the things, because we spent the entire time giving extreme detail as to why we're doing what we're doing, whether that be with training, with nutrition. And that's something that I would really encourage anyone listening to be looking for within a coach, because it's not just it's a luxury service. It's not cheap. It's something that is definitely going to be an investment. But at the same time, to come out of that with the knowledge that you can use for the rest of your life is priceless at that point.
Yeah, guys, just to add on what Alex said, he said it's not cheap. But I mean, that's relative. But, you know, I definitely think it's worth making the right investment over going through 6 to 7 other coaches trying to help you solve your problem. In the long run, you end up spending more money. You end up wasting more time. Resources you can't get back. Time is our most valuable asset, you know? And awesome, Alex. So for some of the people listening who really want to delve into the online coaching realms, what's some feedback you have for people just starting out?
So for people starting to coach or looking for a coach?
Starting to coach.
So with starting to coach, do not be afraid to fall on your face. I think that was something that I was very cautious of when I first started, was that like, there's so many people I looked up to, and I was so afraid of if they saw one of my posts and I said something wrong, that they were going to look down upon me, that I was, you know, an idiot and I didn't know what I was talking about type thing. And the reality of that is that that's not the case. Most of the time, like I've misspoke in posts or something of that nature. And any of my mentors or people that I've looked up to have very politely, you know, sent me a DM and said, hey, this is why this may be wrong, or this is why this could be, you know, stated in a different fashion to be more correct or something of that nature. And you know, I try to do that now where I see maybe some younger coaches and I've had conversation with them or something of that nature to assist them. So don't be afraid to, you only know what you know. There's going to be things that you're constantly learning. So don't be afraid to just share and put yourself out there. I think that just educating, and if you have so many free platforms right now, whether that be through Instagram or YouTube, TikTok is kind of becoming a way. Like, I know that Physique Development is trying to utilize it as a platform and educate in a way that it's, you know, right now it's like it's a fun thing, but I think that it could be a valuable tool from an education perspective moving forward. But yeah, educate as much as you can, get in as many conversations as you can, reach out to people who you look up to. I think that that's another thing that like people are afraid to do, because it's like, well, I don't want to waste their time. I don't want them to look down upon me or anything like that. Just reach out. If they say no, like that's the, you know, literal worst thing that could happen. If they say yes, you're building a relationship with someone that is someone that you look up to, and you'll learn a lot, you know, just through conversation. You don't have to, you know, be their absolute best friend, but building that relationship, kind of that name recognition, that face recognition, is going to be immensely helpful for you moving forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. So, a very common question I get is, okay, I'm just starting out my coaching. How can I really improve my knowledge foundation? And some of the first resources I always love telling people is, okay, muscle and strength pyramids is actually a really good place to start. And I think for me, it's a little bit more unique because, you know, my experiences over the years, having gone through like nursing school and pharmacy school, I'm really able to tie what I learned throughout those different experiences into what I'm doing today. And I feel like that set me up with a really great foundation for just understanding, you know, basic anatomy, basic physiology, basic biochemistry. And those are some other resources I like telling people. It's like, hey, you know, maybe go pick up a textbook about basic anatomy and physiology or basic biochemistry, because, you know, we're all same biologically, right? And some of the same principles when it comes to anatomy and physiology is gonna apply to everyone. So, what are some resources you like telling people when it comes to trying to improve their knowledge foundation?
Yeah, with this, the muscle and strength pyramids is fantastic. I think that full courses that keep you accountable can be really helpful too. So, like precision nutrition from a nutrition course would be fantastic. And then one service that I've taken over the past couple years has been N1 Education. So they have a lot of courses. Well, they have 3 courses currently. And so that's going to be very extensive into biomechanics, exercise execution, exercise or training program design, sleep, nutrition. I mean, it's very all inclusive. And that's one course where you're going to have to take your time with. It's not something that's like, it's easy to digest, but it is a lot of information. I want to say each course is like 25 to 30 hours worth of lectures. And so it is a lot of information. And so those are the things that I would recommend.
Nice, man. So we briefly touched on for coaches just starting out, but for potential clients listening to this, what are some things they should be on the lookout for when it comes to finding the right coach? You know, some things I always say is like, you know, reach out to their clients, talk to their clients, ask them how their experience was, you know, go to their site if they have that resource and run through their testimonials, or even reach out to the coach themselves and talk to them. You know, that's another great way to just really establish a rapport. So love to hear what some tips you have are.
Yeah, I think that with looking for a coach, I would follow their page. Definitely look through their website if they have that. Any articles that they have on there. Speak with previous and current clients, because you're going to get 2 different answers in that facet where you talk to a previous client and they may have different. They may have a completely different experience than those who are in there right now, and they may have like. The service may have improved since the time that previous client had been working with that person or something of that nature. And then just having conversation with that individual through DMs or just email. Like I know for myself, it's going to be significantly easier to reach me via email comparatively to DMs, because I'm going to miss DMs and I'm certainly not going to miss emails 99% of the time. So, reaching out to them. And if the coach does calls or anything like that, or consultations, maybe you go through a full consultation first of maybe a topic that you're curious on to kind of hear their thoughts. And then from there, like I just encourage anyone who's looking for a coach, take your time. It doesn't have to be the first person that you see. Like you can get on calls, you can talk to different coaches, like weigh your options rather than just hopping on a call or getting a price sheet from somebody and just saying, okay, well, I'm on board. It's like, no, like you may not know everything that's there. Like you could see a better service that gives you more over time comparatively to, you know, the service that you did. And, you know, we just said it's going to be cheaper to work with one coach than 7 or 8 coaches to finally find that one coach that really resonates with you. So spending that time up front is going to be, you know, saving you a lot of money over the long haul.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So some defining moments in your coaching career, what would you say some of those are?
Defining moments. I would say the first being just getting started was a defining moment, if you will, where it was being told that it wasn't going to work. Like, why are you doing this? You there's a lot of other things that you could be doing, et cetera, et cetera. And so that was huge for me to push past what everybody was saying around me, my parents, whoever, and still desiring to do it because I knew I was very passionate about it. And then from there, it was transitioning into taking it full time. So that was a huge moment for me and from a growth perspective. And then from there, it's just been, you know, adding coaches to the staff, which has been a massive blessing. And then just continue. I think that the continuous kind of defining moment, if you will, is just putting myself out there on a more frequent basis, making more connections, and really just trusting and having faith in what I'm saying, and realizing just the impact that my knowledge, as well as just the way that I communicate with it, is very important.
Absolutely. So, you know, just to add on what you said there, I know for myself, you know, placing myself in an environment where I was really able to grow and thrive is something that made a big impact. And surrounding myself with the right people. And what I mean by right people is having mentors, having friends I could go to that not only pushed me to try and be a better coach, be a better athlete, but they also add value to my ever expanding like knowledge base. Because look, guys, the reality is you could learn everything you need to learn and you could read every textbook in the world, but it doesn't mean shit if you're not able to apply that information intelligently for someone that's really gonna help them get results, right? Because you could do everything textbook and you could do everything as the literature says, but that's not necessarily coaching, you know what I mean? And nice, man. So to go down another rabbit hole, when it comes to, you know, making that distinguishment between like general population coach. And I'm not sure, do you coach a lot of athletes?
Yeah, I have a good bit of competitors. Obviously this year has been a little different, but yeah.
For sure. You still have clients prepping right now?
I have a few girls. We'll have five girls at Pittsburgh, the North Americans, and then we'll have a handful of girls in South Carolina. And so the national shows, if like those national shows get canceled, then basically everybody's packing it in. Like if those shows get canceled, because it was really hard at the beginning of the year where we had a good bit of competitors at the beginning, and then telling those men and women that like, yo, I know you're 2, 3, 4 weeks out and you busted your ass to get to this point, but like your show's canceled. And it's like, that was really hard.
Oh, you're only sub 8%, but your show's canceled.
Yeah.
I can only imagine how I would feel if that happened to me last year. You know, it sucks.
Yeah. My wife Sue, I mean, she was 3 days into her peak week and they canceled. It was the Wednesday or Thursday before the show was supposed to happen, and we got an email that it was canceled. And so it's like, man, and there was multiple clients of mine that same situation happened. I had a girl who was already at the venue, the host hotel and everything on the Friday, and they canceled it the day before.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Hopefully things improve the rest of the year. We can hope, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Nice, man. So, and I see you have a whole Prime setup in your garage there.
Oh, yeah. I'm loving it. We had just started the conversation before quarantine even started. We had just started the conversation to get everything outfitted for the garage. So it literally just fell at the perfect time. I mean, if you can say perfect time, I suppose, but it fell at a good time to get all that equipment in. And you know, the guys at Prime are just incredible people, great friends. And they just, you know, the quality of the equipment speaks for itself. And we got the pieces that I felt were the most necessary, you know, to have just a gnarly leg session more so than anything, but all muscle groups really.
Nice, man. I saw that you loading the shortened range on that leg extension there.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. We have the leg extension, the lying leg curl, the trap bar, and the pin loaded Prodigy rack are the three things that we got, and then the adjustable bench as well.
Nice, man. Nice. So, you personally, what are some big experiences that have made a significant difference on your coaching experience or like your coaching journey? So I know before we started recording, I said that, understanding biomechanics and how to really individualize things like exercise selection or exercise programming for clients is like made me like Neo in the Matrix, really allowed me to be more effective with what I was doing. And, studying all the content for my CISSN was something that was super big. And it really allowed me to distinguish optimizing someone's health versus like trying to get their body composition into a place to where they'll respond to the adjustments that I'm making. So love to hear your take on some things that have made like big impact for you.
Yeah, I would say just improving the training principles that we've used. I would say that that's a big driving force for me. And I will also say that I've been very blessed to work with women who have larger followings on social that have helped physique development immensely. We just had the privilege of having them on board and having them have great results and so on and so forth. And so that was a big part of improving just the reach in which we could work with clients and things of that nature. So improving the overall training experience and also just the experience for the client overall. I think that one big thing that we drive home immensely is that no matter what the client's goals are or if they're a competitor, if they're lifestyle, everyone gets the same care. No one is treated differently because of there's no priority ranking, if you will. And so that has been a big thing and something that many like we do exit forms with everyone who leaves the service. And that's something that really I look for in that exit form to see that like this has been the most cared for, I feel like, within a coaching service overall, from like the team to the entire staff. Like that's the overarching goal that we have.
Exit form. That's interesting. I'd love to implement that. I don't have that.
Yeah. Nice. I love it, dude. It's nice. And what we do there is like I really drive home for people to be critical. Like I want to hear the things that they did not like. Like I really make it a point like, hey, I'm not going to be angry with you. Like this is not going to tarnish our friendship or anything of that nature. Like you leaving here, I want you to be, hard on me here so that I can improve. And, some people are still, I know that some people do not, they're not critical, but some people are. And like, I really appreciate just hearing what people have to say. And like, we've improved a lot of the processes from those exit forms just to hear, after someone leaves, like after someone works with you for 6, 9, 12 months, there's going to be things that they did not like. And like, that's where you can kind of fine tune things, pick up the sticks, fix up some of the links in the chain and really see improvements in the overall service.
Nice, man. Nice. Absolutely. I might implement that real soon.
Yeah.
I mean, it helped to improve your game as a coach. And like as a coach, any feedback you could get should be good, constructive feedback. And you shouldn't take it personally because our goal is like, even with nutrition training, it's really easy because like I put myself as an athlete. I really want to improve as an athlete and that energy just gravitates to my coaching automatically. So you personally, do you have any sort of competition related goals in the near future?
For me, not so much. I'm pretty focused on just expanding physique development. I'm realizing that in order for us to get to where we envision this to be, I need to be much more focused. And that's not to say that I'm not taking my own nutrition or my own training that seriously. I'm taking it like for me currently with training and nutrition is more of leading by example than anything. I'm very much so focused on overall performance within the gym, just making sure that my blood work is fantastic at all times. And just another thing with that, and like something that we're very focused on is just my stress levels, like having that in a good place and having, time to recharge. Like that's all the things that I'm focusing on from a training perspective. I never, you know, this is like year 10 for me in terms of training consistently. And with that, this has been the least I have trained, you know, 4 days a week. Like, this is the first time in that time period that I've trained this little, but I also probably feel the best that I, you know, have over that time frame. So it's crazy to think about.
Nice, man. Absolutely. And, you know, the whole reason why I got into nutrition training in the first place was for health. So I think a lot of people are focused on the body composition related results or trying to achieve something for external validation or just trying to look a certain way. I got to get these girls at the beach, stupid stuff like that. They tend to overlook the impact that resistance training has just on general health. So I put this on my stories the other day, but it helps in regards to like improving signs and symptoms of depression, decreasing your risk for things like osteoporosis, cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes. And I think it's so amazing how just really training, being meticulous about what you're consuming can make it huge impact. I almost dropped the F. Make a huge impact on your entire quality of living. And like, especially in today's society, people are more geared towards that quick fix, right? There's a lot of people like try to make fitness sound sexy with their marketing schemes and their fit teas and their detoxes, which if you're listening to this, that's all bullshit. You know, and people tend to go for that quick fix, especially like in the sense of a medication, for example, over trying to make a lifestyle change, right? They want to be on long-term therapy for whatever medication, or rather than going on a simple 30-minute walk in the morning, or, you know, being more aware of what you're consuming, trying to eat out less. These small things can make such a significant impact. And yeah, man, that's something big that has really shined out to me, especially like this last year after competing. Like, I love competing, I love bodybuilding, I love training, like, don't get me wrong, but you know, lately I've been having more a love and passion for just educating and teaching people and just explaining things, right? And hopefully they're able to be influenced in a positive light based on like the things that I've learned over the years and the things that have allowed me to get results. And like, for sure, I'm open. I don't want anyone to take what I say for fact. I'd love for people to challenge me. I'd love for them to ask me questions. I'd love for them to read other sources and then maybe shit, come back to me and you'll drop something on me that I don't know. You know, I won't be like mad at you for that. There's a lot of people in the industry too who get upset because you're challenging their point of view. It's like, bro, just chill out. I'm just trying to like point something out to you or just have a simple like discussion, right? You see this in the round tables too, like people trying to challenge opposing views, and there's nothing wrong with that. Really just understanding like different perspectives, the pros and cons of certain protocols, certain approaches is super important. Something that'll help you level up your coaching game for sure. And yeah, that was a long tangent. Love to hear your thoughts on that though.
Yeah. I mean, to come back to the front end of that, for me, starting training was for the sheer fact of I was super little. Like when I was 14 and playing sports at the time, I was just always the smallest kid on the field. I think that like at the time I was, you know, barely over 100 pounds. Like I was little. And so that was the big driving force for me. I was very fortunate to find a mentor and the strength conditioning coach that I had at the time. And then, by the grace of God, he worked with me throughout, up until the time that I left high school. And then he ended up becoming a professor at the university that I was attending. And so like he and I have stayed in contact over that time frame. So even now I lean into him for like more, like I work with a handful of individuals who are still in the sports performance realm, baseball players, things of that nature. And so I really lean into him because that's not my main focus from a research perspective now. And so when him and I connect, he really keeps me, you know, up to date and with, you know, sports performance related things. So yeah, that was kind of the driving force for me to get started. But then with the, what was the second portion in terms of the question?
Just like resistance training's ability to just improve overall health.
Yeah. And like, I think that people get caught up in the fact of it has to be like this 5 or 6 day program and you're doing all this volume. And it's like, dude, you could just get in there and move your body. And like, that's all, just to get started, just get in there. And if you just have a few exercises that you want to do, go in and do them, like just to get your feet rolling. Like, you've got to build some form of momentum and not think that it has to be perfect to get started. Like, there's never going to be this perfect time for you to get started. There's not this perfect training, perfect nutrition. Like, you're going to fail a lot at the beginning. And you know what? You're going to continue to fail as you're 10 years down the road, still trying to do the same thing. So it's like, be willing to fail and then just figure it out. Like, that's the best way. Like, the experience itself is going to be the best way for you to succeed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I've learned more from my failures than I have from my successes, you know.
Yes.
That's always interesting. And you know, short promises, like, or short-term promises for results or fads, that are always going to be there. But I think it's also important to understand that boring and basic will always work, right? And nothing will ever trump basic physiology, basic, you know, exercise principles, like principle specificity or principle individuality. So learning principles is something that's made a big difference on my ability to like program 100%. Too. So that's something that's pretty awesome. And, you know, I think we briefly chatted about this the other day, or I would love to just hear your thoughts on this. Like, high level athletes having sports nutritionists, or like, you know, LeBron, for example.
Right.
I know you probably saw that, but man, if these athletes probably had like a sliver of like, I don't know, understand why they're not working with the RD or something, someone who's able to like program their nutrition a little bit more optimized, I guess you could say. But yeah, man, it's crazy. Have you ever worked with any like top level athletes or MMA fighters, for example? They do a bunch of stupid shit before like,
yeah,
you know, fight. You know what I mean?
I think that we're starting to see it more on like ESPN and things like that, because they literally have nothing to talk about at this point. And so like, you see, I think most recently the LeBron situation, and then following that, I think that like Conor McGregor's trainer had come out and spoke about how he, like, the deficit that he puts Conor into to get ready for weigh-ins. And like, it's just, I mean, very ridiculous natured things that I believe is just a, maybe those trainers, I mean, that's kind of the pinnacle, I'm sure, that they were hoping to get to. I mean, if you're working with LeBron James, you're probably at your, you know, top tier job for your life. And so it's like, maybe at that point they get complacent and they're just not educating themselves anymore. Maybe this trainer has worked with him for, you know, however long, 10 years or something, and he just hasn't really been keeping up to date with things, because, you know, the statement that he made was like an antique, like it didn't make sense in terms of like just basic knowledge at this point. Right. And so it's like, man, if that's at the top, you know, what's going on? Right.
It's crazy, man. I need to go get my P-plat protein shit.
Nice. Yeah. And it was like, he had stated something that whey was going to, you know, sit heavy on his stomach, and it's like, not really. Like,
depends, I guess, on the type of protein.
Yeah, like if you're having like a really crappy like whey concentrate, maybe that's gonna, you know, tear up somebody's stomach. But I mean, you're LeBron James. You've got plenty of money to be able to buy the best protein that you possibly can, and try different ones if they don't, you know, sit well with you. So it's like, that's not really a reason of excuse, I suppose.
Yeah, it's so crazy. How much of a difference do you think it would make if they optimize their nutrition on their performance?
Oh, immensely. And I think that, you know, they view it as like LeBron is kind of the one that optimizes it all. But after, you know, hearing his trainer, it's like, well, he's probably doing better than a lot of the players, but it could still even be better. And so it's like, think about it at that point where it's like, wow, this could even be more optimized. You know, think about how much better he could possibly be, right? It's like, who knows at that point. And so it's like a lot of those guys are also not investing in that. They didn't have that guidance growing up through high school and college. And so they may have some, you know, conversation with staff members and things like that, but not something that's hands-on all throughout their day. Where like LeBron is, you know, that trainer is preparing his meals all throughout the day, you know, working with his chef and things of that nature to have those prepared. But it's like, man, if they truly understood how much he should be intaking from a caloric perspective and really fueling his body, it'd be, you know, scary, you know, how much better he would perform and feel.
That'd be crazy, man. That would be crazy. Yeah. So I know for the basis of this episode, we've been talking about online coaching and malpractice and general population people. But I'd like to kind of switch gears in the competition realm. You know, so what are some things you look for in a competitive athlete before starting a contest prep? Because, you know, if someone has already like signs and symptoms of body dysmorphia or a disordered relationship with eating, going through a contest prep is going to be something that just exacerbates that issue. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. With competitors, I generally am working with bikini competitors, just for those who are listening. And with those individuals, I always am going to get on a call with them first. I'm very curious of intentions. And so I'm very curious of how long the individual has been training and what are the intentions of why you want to compete. Is it because Becky on your Instagram, your favorite person, you know, she competes and it's like, well, if she does, I want to look exactly like her, so I'm going to compete. That's a very poor reason. And you know what? They can be motivators for you wanting to compete, but there has to be a deeper meaning for you to compete, because that motivation from Becky is going to be very fleeting. You know, you're going to get into a stage of shit's going to be real hard, and that is not going to be your saving grace of continuing to push through. That is going to be your reason why you just give up. You know, you've got a long cardio session, your food's down, training is getting really hard. That's when you're going to, you know, come up a couple of reps short. You're going to cut your cardio short. And that's where things really start to snowball into a negative fashion. If the intent is to lose body fat, that is also not a good reason. Like, competition prep is not to lose body fat, is to compete on stage. You're going to lose body fat in the process, but the intent is not just to, you know, go through a fat loss phase to be looking good for summer or something of that nature. And so like, those are the two main intents that I hear, that it's like, hey, we've got to backtrack here and understand that this is not why. And so if the individual is very competitive in nature, they have a true passion or desire to compete, then I'm all game for it. Those are things that I want to hear. If the individual has been dieting prior to getting this contest prep started, and I already know that we're going to be in prep for another 20 to 24 weeks, we can't do that. And so we've got to get that individual into a reverse and then potentially look at shows later on. And I will tell coaches now that maybe, you know, you don't have many competition clients and you just want, like, you'll take anybody at this point to get, you know, some testimonials for your competition coaching. And I advise you to be very upfront and honest with individuals, because when I do tell individuals that they're not ready or we need to go into reverse, 9.9 times out of 10, that individual is very, very open to that, as well as very appreciative that, you know, I have their best interest in mind in terms of their health, as well as not just getting up there on the stage to get up there on stage to get their ass kicked and then, you know, never compete again. Because it really, it breaks my heart for people, like, something that is so near and dear to my heart to compete and has done so much for my life, for them to have a poor experience and only have done it one time in a very negative fashion is hard for me. And it's like, well, competing didn't work out for me. It's like, but the experience was just wrong. Like, you just needed, you needed better guidance. You needed a better timeline. And then lastly, well, there's a handful of things, but the last thing I'll touch on is like, what are the life circumstances? How is the individual doing with school, or are they, you know, what's the stress level of their job? How is their relationship with their spouse? Do they have kids? Like there's a lot of factors from a life perspective to look at. If the individual is, you know, working three jobs and they've got to take care of their child at home, it takes a very special individual to be able to take on also a contest prep in that. Have I had individuals do it? Yes. But it's, I mean, that takes a very special, special case.
Great points, man. Great points. I don't know how to follow up with that. That was
I'm glad it was good.
Yeah, for sure. There's so much to take away from that. And I definitely think looking into lifestyle considerations is super big, right? Because we only have so much stress, or we only have so much control over the amount of stress we could induce through our resistance training, right? Whatever can be managed has to be worked out through different activities, for sure. And it all comes down to the individual, really ensuring that they have the right intentions, like you said, because some people will get into this for the wrong reasons, right? They want a trophy, they want to impress their friends. And I know for me, really making that distinction, my last competition season was something big, you know, really achieving that goal, but understanding that in achieving my best self, I could gravitate that towards other areas of my life, relationships, you know, being a better son, being a better coach, you know, those are things that like genuinely like get me motivated every single day. I'm going to fucking crush it today, you know?
Right.
And I think intent, period, is everything, not only for just like a competition related goal, but especially when it comes to your training, right? Having the proper intent, knowing the goal before the set starts, before the session starts, is super important. So like, are you going for more of a metabolic type training session? Are you going for more of a hypertrophy based training session where we're trying to induce like some muscle damage that might, you know, merit a little bit slower eccentrics or like different stuff, but really looking into those details and having the proper intent is super important. And yeah, man, great points.
Yeah.
I don't know. Follow up with the rest of this episode. I think we pretty much talked about everything.
Yeah, but, we covered a lot.
Is there anything you have coming up for physique development or that you'd like the audience to tune into?
Man, not anything specific. You can find me on Instagram at AlexBush__. And then Physique Development has a page as well. You can check out the Physique Development website, just physiquedevelopment.com. We have plenty of articles on there. You can find YouTube, all that different stuff. So, yeah, that would be the big thing, I would say. Big things coming up is hopefully competitors kicking ass on stage here in the next, you know, 8 weeks and everything going well. I know that there was a show out in Utah yesterday or last week that they ended up having at a nightclub, and they were able to have spectators because it was in the club. So
that's funny.
The kind of season we're looking at.
That's so funny. Was it like a strip club or what?
It was, to my understanding, was just kind of like a bar, like dance vibe type thing. And so like, they like cleared the main floor, but then on the outsides were still, you know, people were getting drinks and just watching from the sides like, on couches and stuff. Like that's what it was like.
That's funny. You could get drinks and enjoy your bodybuilding show, huh?
So yeah, hopefully, man, over the next 8 weeks, things kind of, you know, normalize as much as they can this year, and everybody's able to get to some shows that they've been prepping for far too long at this point.
I know it's shitty, this entire situation, but like people are going to hate me for saying this, but it was fun in regards to like programming and problem solving, for sure. Something that like we've never experienced in our life. Like, oh, you have to get shit done with what you have at home.
It was a huge experience just getting, I didn't realize how creative I was, just like thinking outside the box and going out to the garage and just kind of like going through random movements that, you know, that I was just kind of creating on the fly and be like, oh, this works. Like I can, you know, do this or what have you. So, man.
Yep. All right, guys, this is going to be the end of the episode. I genuinely want to thank you for tuning in. If you appreciated it and took something valuable away from it, just go ahead and hit a screenshot and tag me and Alex on your stories. And definitely appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me again.
All right. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.